We want to welcome you to the Bible teaching ministry of Fellowship Bible Church, where our desire is to honor God by faithful obedience to His Word. If you want to understand the Bible better, please continue to listen. You can reach us with questions or for more teaching audio and print material at our website, fbcaa.org. You can also watch our services live at fbcaa.org/live. We want to thank you for listening and pray that you will be edified.
Good evening. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 tonight for scripture reading. I'll probably say this a lot with different times of reading chapters, but this is one of my favorite ones. And, you know, it's oftentimes said at weddings. For those that have never been to a wedding, it's often said at weddings. But with the world being so full of anger and hatred these days, it's good for us to contemplate the love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I also am known. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love.
So we're going to invite Patricia. She is a new missionary candidate with Gospel Mission of South America, and we welcome her to share with us her testimony and a little video that will come after.
Hi, everyone. As Pastor mentioned, my name is Patricia Gosen. I am so grateful for your hospitality and receiving us this morning, also for the Postiffs for opening up their home. It's been really nice to be able to catch up with them a little bit, just on ministry and how life has gone in the past couple of years. I'm a missionary kid. I was born and raised in Argentina my whole life. Even though I was a missionary kid and I went to church with my family and everything, I still was a sinner. As Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." God loved me and sent his son, as the Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life." I believe this when I was five. It was actually on one of our furloughs. We were in Ohio visiting my parents' Sunday church there. And we had started doing a little bit of homeschooling. And it was a Christian curriculum. And every so often, there was a question about salvation that would come up. And it was my mom would ask me if I was saved. And I told her no. So she walked through the whole gospel message with me, and at the end she asked me if I wanted to be saved. And I told her no, that I was not ready yet. It was a couple of days later that it was a Sunday evening, and I was supposed to be taking my nap, but I just kept thinking about what my mom had said, all the teachings that I had gotten until then, and I felt ready there. And so right then I just by myself prayed and accepted Christ as my personal savior. Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. After that, I went and told my mom about what I had done, and I think that was probably the first time that I did not get in trouble for not taking my nap. I love naps now. That's not an issue anymore. But I wouldn't say there was any like drastic change in my life. I was five. I didn't have any like major sins. But I started to learn for myself what it meant to be a Christian. It wasn't my parents' belief anymore. That was my belief now. There have been times where I doubted my salvation over the years, but my parents always taught me to go to the scriptures for that. And John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them from my hand. I am safe in Christ. That is where I find my identification in him. I got baptized by immersion February 22, 2015, when I was 12. And when I was 15, I started getting training to evangelize children. I participated in an intense week of training in Uruguay with APEN, which is the Child Evangelization Fellowship. And that same year, me and some of my friends got a chance to go to a trip to visit one of the churches in Uruguay and help them with their VBS there. I started to be a little bit more involved with my church in Gualeguaychú, just with the music, did some cleaning, helping like set up for different ministries, and helping with some of the teens ministries as well. And I say like I have, since I was like a little kid, I wanted to become a missionary like my parents. And then when I came to college, to Iowa, I still had that desire in my heart, but I didn't want that my decisions to go back to Argentina as a missionary be just because of my upbringing. That's what I know. And so I kind of struggled my first year with being able to figure out that part of my future, you could say, because I wanted to be led by the Spirit. And it was my freshman year, I was able to talk with a missionary who had been years and years in Argentina doing ministry there. And he mentioned that his son had struggled with the same thing because he had also grown up in Argentina in a missionary home. And he had mentioned something in one of his sermons that there was nothing wrong with going back to your country to serve. He also mentioned that it being able to work with family had been such a blessing for them. So this encouraged me a lot, And I started to pray a little bit more specifically about going to Argentina. The Lord has led to me all the way here, you could say. I have loved my time there in Iowa with my church there that I've been assisting for the past 3 years, being able to serve with them in ministry. I have been encouraged by several of the members there. And this summer, as Pastor mentioned this morning, I was able to go to Florida and spent 2 weeks with the Lorches there and was accepted into the Gospel Mission of South America to go as a missionary to Argentina. So if you guys would want to pray with me that I might be faithful in the Lord and for his provision and strength. There's a lot of traveling, so just protection on the road, and that I might still be trusting in his perfect will. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. We will show her video just now.
My name is Patricia Gosen, and I am a missionary kid born and raised in Argentina. I was saved at the age of 5 and got baptized by immersion when I was 12. I always liked to help my parents at church. It started out with simple things like distributing hymnals and cleaning the church. As I grew older, I started to get involved with other ministries. I played the guitar and helped with the children's ministries. With age came the realization that the people around me needed Christ. I remember going to Bible studies at people's homes and hearing my dad explain the gospel to unsaved family members. It shocked me to see how lost some of them were. They did not understand the severity of their sin. I realized that I was taking for granted my relationship with Christ. I wanted to help take the gospel to others. During 2020, all ministries looked very different. Everything had to be done by computer and online. I helped my dad record and upload his sermons every Sunday. It was during this time that my mom and I started a ministry we called Alelón. This ministry consisted of a group of women that would be intentional in contacting other women from the church. It was intended to help encourage each other during a time that meeting face-to-face was not possible. Once October came around, the government started to allow meetings with a small group of people. Not everything went back to normal, but at least we had a little freedom. I started to visit the ladies from church on my own. I would grab my bike and go to each of their houses and drop off notes, cookies, or just stop by for a bit. I was very introverted until that point, so this really helped me get out of my comfort zone and encouraged some of the older ladies from my church that weren't able to go out as much. When I was in high school, I did not want to come to the United States for college, but in my senior year, I took the family class from Faith. I saw what a class would be like, and I started to learn so much and enjoyed it. I started to consider studying in the U.S., but could not see that as a possibility. I had no money, and college in the U.S. was more expensive. My family started to pray about it, and soon my grandparents heard about it and offered me a place to stay the summer before my freshman year of college. I moved to Nebraska on April 18, 2021, and got my first job a week after moving. I can look back and see the Lord's hand in everything that summer, from moving to working and starting college. I praise God's faithful provision and strength. If you could be praying with me for safety in travels, for God's wisdom and direction for my future plans, and that I trust in His perfect will.
Argentina is the second largest South American country, known for its diverse geography, including the Andes Mountains, the Pampa grasslands, and the glaciers in the south. I've seen the need that people have for God. I want to help meet that need. I understand that people are lost and in need of a Savior. Churches need workers. The Lord has given me a desire and the capacity to go as a missionary, and I want to serve Him in this manner.
Thank you very much there. Young people, you may go out for truth trackers. And we'll invite, in just a moment, Tim Gosen to come to the pulpit and share what he has for us.
As the Lehiam people go out, I just want to again say thank you for your prayers throughout all these years. Thank you for your support financially, also for your notes of encouragement, different things that you've sent over the years through snail mail. And it's been great to have this support, this working together as we seek to serve the Lord in Gualeguaychú, Argentina. The table has a bunch of things that you can touch and hold and manage. There's some literature also there. Our latest prayer card is there. There's some stickers also for the mission. Those are free to take. And if you would like to do a challenge, there's that puzzle of the Argentine country. But it's been a blessing to be with you today. And we'd like to just share a report of what the Lord's been doing. On the video, we're not talking too much about the country per se of Argentina, but the ministry itself of the church in Gualeguaychú. And then after that, we'll open the Word of God and see what He has for us tonight. And also, if there's any questions, any concerns, any anything that you want to ask or whatever, we'll be by the table there. We'd love to get to know you better also. And if we have answers, we can try to answer those things. We are grateful for the 25 years that the Lord has allowed us to serve Him in Argentina and for His faithfulness in bringing souls to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and bringing them to be conformed to Christ's image. Both Cristina and I grew up in Argentina, but in 1999, the Lord took us back to this needy country and led us to the city of Gualeguaychú with a population of 95,000 people. The goal was to plant a church of sound doctrine and practice that would reach its own community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We handed out gospel tracts, shared the good news of salvation through personal contacts, and held services in our home. The work began small and the results were slow, but by 2004, we had a handful of believers who faithfully attended services. In 2005, the Lord provided a property for the church, which gave us the liberty to expand different ministries. A Bible club for kids, special classes on evangelism, Bible study methods, and hermeneutics, and youth meetings. As the group grew, we were able to organize the church with membership. In 2009, work began for a new church building. The first phase was completed in 2012. The second phase was completed in 2020, and the third phase only lacks some details. The congregation has experienced many changes over the last 4 years, and we thank the Lord for His sustaining grace throughout the many trials. Four members of the church needed to be dismissed from membership, and since many of the believers were related to each other, this hurt some of the family relationships. We had arrived in Gualeguaychú from our last furlough with a plan to concentrate our efforts on establishing leadership, but we found ourselves back to ground zero, working on restoring relationships and spiritual lives. However, not long after we lost some of our members, new people began to come. Claudia is a young lady from Gualeguaychú who had been studying in Buenos Aires, was witnessed to by her roommate, and was saved. She moved back to our city and the next day came to our services. She has been growing and developing in her spiritual life and service to the Lord. She is the only one in her family that is saved and has been sharing the gospel with her relatives. Laura is married and is the mother of a 12-year-old boy. She left a Pentecostal church in town looking for a place she could get sound Bible teaching. After visiting one of our services, she said she was returning to her home spiritually filled. She was baptized and became a member of the church. Her husband, Hernan, is not saved yet, but he has heard the gospel message and has been coming to our couples meetings. Pray for his salvation. Laura was the first of 17 people that came from that church. We received them with open arms, praying that they would be convinced by the Word of God on some important issues. Several of them attended our Getting to Know My Church Sunday School class, in which we slowly taught them our church doctrine and practice. Six of them became members. This new blood has been a great blessing to our church, bringing the body closer knit. Marcela began attending our church back in 2004. She was a believer and had already been baptized in a brethren church, but she was not very committed to the local assembly. Several years back, both her parents died. This brought her through a crisis in which she sought the Lord with all her heart. She experienced a new love for the Lord and for the brethren, and realized she wasn't saved before. So she gave testimony of her newly found salvation and followed the Lord in believer's baptism. The new families have several adolescents and teens, enlarging and blessing our youth group. This last month, they prepared 10-minute presentations of the life of missionaries of the past. They enjoyed doing it and did a good job. Omar and Ariana are helping out with the youth. We have been encouraging the teens to read their Bibles every day. Please pray that they would develop the spiritual disciplines of scripture reading and prayer. The men have enjoyed meeting once a month for fellowship and Bible study. We have been looking at the biblical qualifications of elders from 1 Timothy chapter 3, as we prepare them to recognize those that the Lord is raising up to lead the church. The ladies also meet once a month and have had great times of fellowship and Bible teaching. Cristina has been going over the character qualities of the virtuous woman from Proverbs 31. Several unsaved ladies have come. Please pray for their salvation. We've also had couples meetings designed to strengthen the unity of our marriages. We have fun playing games, times of fellowship around the table, and spiritual feasting on God's Word. These events have been an encouragement for the believers and an opportunity to witness to those unsaved couples or spouses that attend. While we were finishing the last details of the parsonage, several of the floor tiles began to buckle up. So one of the men in the church has been working on restoring the floor. Finishing details for the parsonage include purchasing and installing ceiling fans, painting the stairway, and making and installing a handrail. We appreciate all who generously contributed to the church and parsonage construction project. Recently, our church family has experienced deep trials. 3 months ago, Jose passed away after an 11-year battle against cancer. He was our adult Sunday school teacher for many years and shared the teaching responsibility with two other men during our last furlough. Elida, the widow, has found strength and comfort in the Lord and has been supported by the church family. Eva was a Sunday school teacher for years, and last year she was diagnosed with advanced cancer. She became so anemic that the doctors were surprised she was still alive. After chemo, surgery, and radiation, the doctors said she was free of cancer. However, lately a spot in her lungs has drawn the doctor's attention. Please pray that the cancer has not spread. Pablo and Judith have been a great encouragement to us. They used to attend a Baptist church in Buenos Aires, but moved to Gualeguaychú and became members last year. Judith plays a couple of instruments and has helped us with the music in church. Pablo is a servant at heart and has helped the church to develop the ministry of the ushers. As we go back to Argentina, we anticipate what the Lord will do in our congregation as we seek His will in the recognition of elders and deacons. This is a necessary step in the establishment of the church, but we need wisdom and discernment from the Lord in the process. We appreciate your prayers. Our youngest daughter, Patricia, was accepted by the Gospel Mission of South America to minister in Argentina. We look forward for her to join us and form a team to work in Gualeguaychú or wherever else the Lord would lead us. We are also praying for someone who could help us in the ministry so we could free up time and energy to begin a work in another city nearby. The brethren in Gualeguaychú could help and support the new church plant. We are grateful for those of you who have prayed and supported our ministry throughout these 25 years, and we praise the Lord for what He has done in the hearts and lives of the Argentine people. To share several matters of prayer as you remember us. Pray for James and Donnell Morel. They're missionaries with our mission that are taking our place during our absence. Also pray because in May we will be in the States and they also will be coming to the States. They have some graduations in their family and some of their college kids. And so the church will be without that pastoral shepherding leadership for that month until we return. We do have men that preach and teach, so those ministries will continue as they are, but just pray for the congregation. Pray also for two men, Omar and Nicholas. I think Pastor Matt has met both of them. They're key men in our church. I don't know if the Lord will lead them in the ministry as far as being elders in the church in the future, but we are seeking to establish, recognize really leaders that the Lord is raising up, both elders and deacons, and so be praying for them as they are key men in the church. One of the other men passed away, who was Nicholas's father. He was on the slides too, but another thing is for a future national pastor for the church. That's what we've been praying all along, that the Lord would provide somebody to stay there in Gualeguaychú to continue pastoring the church so that we can move on in our church planting ministry. And so we still ask you to pray for that, and that we might have wisdom and discernment in searching for that and helping the church with that. And also, we would ask you to pray for somebody to come along our side and help us in the ministry, even if it's not a national pastor, but if somebody could come and help us out in the ministry and free some time up, one of us can, you know, start working in another community for an establishment of another church in a surrounding city or town of Gualeguaychú. And so that's a matter of prayer also, that you could be upholding us with in these months. If you would turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Twenty-nine years ago, I preached on Romans 12. Anybody remember? No. I'd like to preach now, or preach, share a devotional. The Romans 11, the verse right before Romans 12. Romans 11, verse 36. Romans 11, 36 says, "For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we ponder and meditate upon this verse, may we be moved to humility. May we be moved to gratefulness and to even a greater commitment to you. Help us to understand these facts, and we pray for that to honor and glorify you with our words, with our actions, with our attitudes, and everything that we do and say. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul in Romans 11 is finishing his exaltation of the Lord and just admiring his plan for the ages. Everything that has been planned in the salvation of the Jews, the unbelief of the Jews, salvation of the Gentiles, and then the salvation of the Jews again in the kingdom and all those things. And he finishes by saying, "For of him and through him and to him are all things." I would call this devotional, "It's all about him." It's all about him. For of him and through him and to him are all things. So, number one, he is the origin, the creator. God is the origin of all things. Nothing exists apart from what the triune God has created. There's a number of verses, but we're not going to go back and forth. I don't want to lose you there, but I will mention the passages so that you can write them down if you're taking notes. 1 Corinthians 8:6 says, "But to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things." That's the same word. Out of whom are all things. For of him are all things. Our existence comes from God, doesn't it? Paul in Acts 17:28 says, "For in him we live and move and have our being." We know that we are created by God and even created in the image of God. Our existence comes from God. Salvation comes from God. Christ Jesus in Hebrews 5 says that became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. He is the author, the originator, the giver, the cause of our salvation. Jonah said, "Salvation is of the Lord." Our possessions come from God. Paul admonishes Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17, "Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy." Everything that we have comes from God. Every perfect gift, every good gift, and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Even our talents, gifts, and abilities come from God. In 1 Corinthians 4:7, Paul tells the Corinthians, "For who maketh thee to differ from another? And what hast thou that thou hast didst not receive? Now if you didn't receive it, why do you glory as if you had received it?" And that's in the context of gifts and opportunities in the church body. These things should humble us, right? All things are from God. Our life, our being, our salvation, our gifts, our position, possessions are from Him. We receive them from Him. But all things are also are through God. For of Him and through Him are all things. Through Him. So God is the mediator of all things. So nothing good is done apart from what the triune God works. What really is good in this world is only those things that God does. That verse in 1 Corinthians 8:6 also talks not only about God, whom all things come from, but also we believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him. So all things are by or through Jesus Christ. The creation of all things that exist was through the personal agency of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16 says, "For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him." And it uses the same preposition, like through Him and for Him. So it's through the action of the living Word of God that all things came into being. But we receive redemption through the work of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:24 says, "Being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." Through the redemption of Christ. So He's the mediator of all things, even our salvation, our redemption. And we are saved also through the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is involved in our salvation. Titus 3:5-6 says, "Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by," that same preposition, "through," by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. But also our obedience to God. Our obedience to His will comes through the work of Christ in our lives. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will." And catch this, "working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever." So it's through Jesus Christ that we are capable, that we are moved to do the perfect will of God. That's why Paul said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I lived more abundantly than they all, yet not I." It wasn't Paul, it was Jesus. "Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And so all those things that God did, or all those things that Paul did, were done through Jesus Christ. That's why in Romans 9 it says, "So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy." It's God's work in us. It's through Him. Through Him. And these things should fill us with gratefulness, thanking the Lord for all He has done for our lives. But also, all things are to God. For of Him and through Him and to Him are all things. So God is the purpose for all things. Nothing has a purpose apart from the triune God. All things were created for God's enjoyment. No. Not only he was the creator of all things, and through him, you know, through Jesus Christ, all things were created, but it was for his enjoyment. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." So those things that are not pleasing to God have been twisted from their intended purpose. You know, really, Satan doesn't invent anything. He just takes what God created and twists it. You know, he takes truth and twists it to a lie. He takes, you know, different things that God has made and created, and he twists it. And we have been saved also for God's glory. Salvation is for his glory. Turn to Ephesians 1. There are several passages in Ephesians that I'd like you to look. So let's look at that. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 12. Ephesians 1, 12 says that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. So we trust in Christ and we are saved to the praise of his glory. But also we have received that relationship of son placing for God's pleasure. Notice in verse 5, Ephesians 1, 5, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Now, it's not that we have been adopted into the family of God through adoption. You know, like we're already born and we're older in life and we have been adopted. That word adoption means placement as adult children or adult sons. And it's talking about God's relationship with us is not as a relationship that parents have with their small children. They tell them, you know, when they take a nap, what they're going to eat, what they're going to put on. At least they used to. I don't know if they do anymore, but maybe the kids decide now. But as the children grow, they're allowed to make decisions. And God has given the believer, the New Testament believer, the Holy Spirit, and he's the spirit of adoption. And the Holy Spirit helps us to make decisions so that we might follow and obey God. So we are no longer under the law as small children. You know, this is what you're going to do. This is what you're going to put on. This is what you're going to eat. We are under grace and we have the Holy Spirit of adoption. And so now he says, having predestinated us by the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. So that relationship that we have personally with God as adult children that can be guided by the Holy Spirit to obey God's word and to please the Lord, that's for his glory. Notice Ephesians 1:9 says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. So God has made known to the church the mystery of his will for his good pleasure also. All those things that the church is able to understand and grasp, truths that God has revealed in his word, they're for God's honor, for God's glory, for his pleasure. And all we do should be done to God's glory. Whether therefore ye eat or drink, like we did at noon today in church with you all, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. For of him and through him and to him are all things. And these things should move us to a greater commitment to God. That ought to be our response. These things, for of him and through him and to him, should humble us, should fill us with gratefulness and should move us to a greater commitment to that God and Savior who should receive all the honor and all the glory. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you because missions is of you and through you and to you. Salvation is of you, through you, and to you. Our existence is of you, and through you, and to you. Help us to live humbly, to recognize we are not big shots. We are just servants of you. Help us to be eternally grateful, that we might live our lives in gratefulness to you, and help us to be committed to you in a better way. We are limited. You are infinite. We need to keep on growing. And Lord, none of us are where we ought to be. So help us. And you know each one of our lives. You know those areas in our lives where we need to work at. May your Holy Spirit better us, work in us, help us to weed out sins and the works of the flesh, and mortify those things, and help us to live by your Spirit and really honor you and glorify you and be more committed to witnessing to our co-laborers, witnessing to our family members, witnessing to our neighbors across the street. Help us so that our life might honor and glorify you. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you, Tim. Very excellent. Gospel Mission of South America exists to facilitate sending churches like this one to plant churches in South America, but not just to plant churches in South America, but to plant reproducing churches in South America. And that's something that the church in Gualeguaychú might begin to see in the next term of service, hopefully. So I enjoin you to pray for that ministry, pray for those men there, the young men who are learning leadership ability there, training, practicing preaching. I was going to ask about Omar. Actually, I saw him in some pictures there. I wasn't exactly sure where he was these days. I know he's gone a couple different places. So glad that he's there with you. And Nicholas as well, I think you said. Yeah, I don't remember him as well just because I didn't see him in several places where I went in South America when I visited. But we're grateful for those men. But do pray for that church there in Gualeguaychú, as well as many others in South America that we have some connection with. And frankly, many churches here. We need a lot of ministers. We need a lot of pastors. This generation is not producing missionaries and pastors like previous generations did. And so the need is all that more urgent. And we need guys in their 20s. We need teenagers to think about the possibility of going into the Lord's work. And anybody who may be poked in the heart that way can be put to use in your local church and perhaps in a leadership role here or there or somewhere else. So we trust the Lord will work in your heart that way. And those of you online as well, we don't want to forget that you're there, and encourage you to pray that way for the church and for us here and around the world as the mission goes forward until the Lord returns.